Thank you, Pastor Owens, for your influence in my life. I'm very thankful you get to hear him tonight. And thank you, Pastor Owens.
Let me tell you a couple of things real quick at our table. I think I have a couple music CDs left by a lady by the name of Lydia Bryan. And if you hear her music, you'll love it. Her husband is evangelist Craig Bryan, and they're some of the sweetest people you ever meet in your life. And it's good, wholesome music. Also, Owens Publications, I realize, especially for the younger generation, that CDs are they're basically a thing of the past now. But this last year, we uploaded onto our website well over 1,000 of our products. There's 1,000 downloadable sermons and things on Owens Publications website. There's a book that this year has become a little more popular, I think because of the struggles of the year. There's a book on my table called Wounded Spirit. They're very inexpensive. They're $5. But tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon that could be kind of a tag team sermon with that book. But if you come back to the table afterwards, we would certainly be glad for you to. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I love your pastor and his family very, very much. He is a very special man and a special man to me. And you're fortunate to have him as your pastor. I will guarantee you he loves the Bible and he's good at teaching the Bible. You ask him a question, you'll be sorry you did, because he will talk your leg off, and he knows the book. He knows the book, and I certainly appreciate that about him. Again, Ms. Nash, I apologize, but you have been a missionary. You didn't even think you were called to the mission field, so you've been able to help the heathen all these many years, and so. But I love the Nash family. I want you to get your Bibles out tonight. I've been preaching since I was a 16-year-old boy. I'll be 61 at my next birthday. Over 37,000 times I have preached from this book. I used to try to preach good sermons. I failed at that miserably, so I decided I would just try to help people. And tonight I'm going to say something to you. I don't know that you would even really call it preaching, but I think I can help you. And that's what I want to do. Proverbs chapter 18, if you will. Proverbs chapter 18. And once you get to Proverbs, I want you to find Proverbs 18, verse number 14, is where we're going to read. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. I'm going to refer to a lot of scripture this evening. But why don't you stand with me real quickly? We're going to read one verse. I'm going to read it out loud. The sermon, I call it A Healthy, Strong Spirit. A Healthy, Strong Spirit. Proverbs 18:14 says this, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Let's say a word of prayer, and let's see if I can help all of us tonight. Father, I want to help. We come to church, Lord, and we smile, and we try to greet people with a good, positive attitude. But so many times, our hearts are heavy. Our lives can become difficult. Our country has been difficult. Tonight, Lord, you know my intent, my desire is to help everyone so that their life is a good, peaceful, happy life. Now, bless the teaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, and help us to be helped tonight. Holy Spirit, my personality is not enough. Every one of us, as we listen, our intellect is not enough. We need your Spirit's guidance, Lord. We need your Spirit to help. I want your help as I talk. We all need your help as we listen. Help us to be helped tonight. Not just dependent on ourselves, but dependent on you and the Spirit of God, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I work at trying to have a good spirit about myself, maybe a good attitude. But I will tell you this, I do have to work at it. It doesn't come natural all the time, and I don't think it does for anybody. If you're going to have a good spirit, and I'll explain that a little more in a minute, if you're going to have a good spirit, if you're going to have a spiritual attitude, you will have to work at it. And the devil will challenge that, and he'll try to get you to have a bad spirit. I like to play baseball when I was growing up. And there's something that we used to do. We get a baseball glove, and we took some mink oil, and we would put mink oil all over our glove. It softened up the leather, and it protected the leather. I just like, I suppose, every other young person, I got me a good ball glove, and I was so glad I had it, and my dad taught me to put that mink oil on it. I didn't realize it, but more than one time I left it in the backyard, and the dew or the rain would come, but you know something, that mink oil protected it. It protected the leather from breaking down and becoming brittle. It protected it from the rain, the dirt. If I tossed it, it protected that glove. I want to talk to you about having a healthy, strong spirit. Your spirit is connected to your attitude or your feelings. I don't want to debate anybody about words here, but I say this. If I recommend that you protect your spirit, I'm recommending that you protect your attitude.
Yes.
Or you protect your feelings. Now, we all have feelings. They came to us from God. Now, our feelings are not to control us. We're to control them. But tonight, the lesson that I'm going to talk about, this thing of a healthy, strong spirit, I'm not going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit, you'll always find that word spirit with a capital S. I'm going to talk to you about our spirit, the human spirit. And you'll find that in the Bible with a lowercase s. So we're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit, although we will refer to him in a point or two. Let me read some scriptures to you that have to do with our spirit, little s. Listen to this. 1 Peter 3:4 says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." That's little s. That's our spirit. Proverbs 16, verse number 19 says, "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." That's our spirit, little s. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit, little s, is better than the proud in spirit, little s." Sometimes when it's talking about spirit in the Bible, it's not always having to do with God's spirit. You and I have a spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me," small s. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 5 says, "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" There's spirit, little s, the human spirit. One more. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, Pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." That's little s. I've heard preachers preach that one was asking for a double portion of the Holy Spirit in this case. And there's nothing unreasonable about that, but the only thing is, that is not what is being asked. What is being asked is that Elisha said, "I would like to have a double portion of your good attitude, Elijah." Wow, a double portion. Huh. Each of us have a spirit, little spirit. And so you know, it's a good idea that you protect your spirit. You don't want it damaged.
Right.
I've met people with damaged spirits. You don't want it broken. That's not what you want. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit," small s, "drieth the bones." So you know, if your spirit gets damaged, it can affect your health.
Yes.
There are people that when they get this a bad attitude, a bad spirit, when their feelings are brokenheartedness, it'll affect your sleep. It'll affect your health. It could affect you in a lot of ways. I would recommend to you that you not let your spirit get damaged. We don't want it to be broken. So we've got to learn to protect our spirit. Why? Because the Bible says your spirit can sustain you. Now, that word sustain, we don't use it a lot in this modern day culture, but it means it'll help you hold it together. It'll help hold you up. It'll make you strong. Listen to Proverbs 18:14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now, I don't want a broken spirit. I don't want a wounded spirit. I don't want a damaged spirit. I want a healthy spirit. We just came through, and I hope we're at the tail end of the COVID-19 boogeyman. Well, we were doing things everywhere with the intent of protecting ourselves. There was a time when people were wearing gloves and masks, and they were taking temperatures, and everybody was sanitizing their hands, and they were practicing social distancing. And they were quarantining. Why? We were wanting to protect our health. Now, you know what you and I ought to do? We ought to also protect our spirits. Say, why? If you don't protect your spirit and it gets damaged, you will not sustain happiness. You will not sustain your Christian testimony like you should. So, it's important that you and I protect our spirit. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some ways to protect your spirit. Some will be extremely obvious. Many of you will know most of these. But I happen to believe that if we as Christians, no matter what this world is like, we're to have a good spirit. Amen. You look at Jesus as he was going through a crucifixion, you talk about a good spirit. I mean, when you get beat to a pulp and they drive nails through your hands and your feet, and this is what he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That is not what I would have been saying. That's because I can have a bad spirit sometimes. But Jesus had a great spirit, a perfect spirit. Now, I'm going to make some very, very practical applications. I want to show you some things that you can do to protect your spirit. Now, I didn't look this up in a book. I'm going to tell you, I analyzed me. I'm going to tell you how I try to keep my spirit what it needs to be. So, let me show you. Let me say this first of all. Number one, you need to realize that you can protect your spirit. You can. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, take heed unto thyself. Huh. It says, and unto the doctrine. But notice, it says, you can take heed unto yourself. You better keep an eye on you. You better learn how to keep your guard up. Many people don't even realize that they can protect their own spirits. There might be somebody here tonight and say, you know, I never really thought about this. I have an attitude. Do I protect my attitude? An attitude is not the exact definition of spirit, but it's pretty close. So, if you didn't know that you could protect your spirit, you may find yourself frequently being hurt. Do you find yourself hurt a lot emotionally? Do you find your spirit often wounded? Sometimes the people, their spirits are almost like the ball in a pinball machine. Now, young people, back when I played games like you do on your computer, your telephone, or your device, we used to have this big box, and how many of you, help me here, how many of you have seen an old-fashioned pinball machine? Okay, I know people where their spirit is almost like the ball in a pinball machine. It is bouncing all over the place. That's really not healthy. As Christians, we're not to be bouncing all over the place emotionally. Have you ever met the kind of person where you see them coming and you're thinking, well, I wonder what their attitude is today? Now, we shouldn't be like that. But we'll be like that if we don't know that we need to protect our spirit. You know, a young child will walk into a dangerous situation not knowing to protect themselves. That's because they don't know. Now, after tonight, everybody under the sound of my voice, you're going to know that you have a spirit, small s, and that you need to protect that spirit. You say, why? For God's sake. for your testimony's sake, for the church's sake, for the sake of the people around you. There's nothing like being with someone who's all the time got their spirit out of whack. It's hard to live with. And we shouldn't be hard to live with. We should work at preventing spirit damage. In other areas of life, we try to prevent damage. Why not this one? We try to prevent forest fires. We try to prevent auto injury, so we'll have seat belts. We try to prevent tooth decay by brushing our teeth with fluoride toothpaste. We prevent poisoning by putting childproof caps on top of medicine bottles. But have you ever decided that there were some safety measures that you need to take to protect your attitude? And, you know, if you think about it, you hear people say stuff like this, well, attitude's everything. And in a way, attitude is a lot of everything. Isn't it sad that attitude is such a big deal, but the average person has never said, I will figure out how to protect my attitude so it does not corrupt, so it my spirit is not broken or damaged or wounded. I put in place, many years ago, my mentor, I heard him mention this thing about protecting one's spirit. He said this. He told me one day, he said, you better protect your spirit because as you pastor, people are going to need you. They're going to need you during emergencies and calamities and negatives. And somebody's got to hold it together. Somebody's got to be strong while everybody else is weak. You've got to protect your spirit. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for the people that will need you. And I thought, that is so interesting. He from time to time would mention little things that he did to protect his spirit. So, some years ago, I sat down, I analyzed it, and I said, what things can I do to protect my spirit? I wrote them down. And then I started doing them. And for the most part, now, nobody's perfect, and believe me, I'm not. But I do these things, and they have salvaged me from having a bad spirit in many, many cases. Let me show you some things. For instance, I try not to get involved in problems that I can't solve. Yes. I try not to get involved in problems I can't solve. Listen to Matthew chapter 25, verse number 15. It says this. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Several ability, the Bible says. Here's something that I've tried to work on me. I want to know my ability. Did you know your pride can cause you to get a hurt spirit? You say, why? You think you can solve all problems, so you take on all problems, but you can't solve all problems. So because you take so much on trying to solve problems, suddenly you get a wounded spirit. You have to ask yourself about certain problems. Is it your place to solve it? Even if you could. Did you know that unfinished tasks quench people's spirits? Here's what, maybe there's a better way to word this. Why don't you mind your own spiritual business? When you hear a problem but you can't do anything about it, you may have put undue stress on your spirit or your attitude. Your involvement out of your area of jurisdiction is going to stress you. There's some of you, you're always worried about what the next door neighbors are doing. That's really none of your business. Why in the world would you want the amount of stress that you put on your attitude when you're sticking your nose in somebody else's business? Look, folks, we have enough of our own problems. Why in the world would we want to get emotionally involved in problems that we couldn't solve if we wanted to? Brother Nash, I don't fret over issues that are occurring in other churches across the country. You say, why? It's none of my business. I don't know what the problems are in the churches across town in my city. You say, why? I'm real, real busy taking care of my own mess. That also protects my spirit.
Yes,
sir. I want to keep my spirit healthy. And let's face it, what's going on in some church across town, is it any of our business? No. Can we solve the problem? No. Then why would we want to toss and turn tonight, having that burden on us? And what am I, you know what I'm doing? I'm protecting my spirit. because I need my spirit to be strong for my church. And so I said, don't get involved in problems you can't solve. Secondly, here's something that I don't do. I don't read anonymous letters. I don't read them. I set this policy up a long time ago. Do you know that most of the time when you receive an anonymous letter, it's not positive? Most of the time it's written by a coward.
Right.
And they want to say something to you and not have to take personal responsibility for saying it.
Right.
You say, but wonder if, I don't know, because I don't read them. But couldn't it? Maybe it could, but I don't know. I don't read them. An unsigned letter will cause your mind to wonder who wrote it. Here's what you do. Preacher, if somebody writes you an unsigned letter and you read it, you have the potential of coming to the pulpit and going, now which one of you wrote it? Now you have a congregation of partially guilty people in your mind. So you know what I do? I look to see who wrote it first, and if it says nobody, I throw it in the trash. You say, but wonder if it was a positive letter. I'd rather lose one positive than to read 99 negative, and most people sign positive letters. Even, hey, I'll tell you something else I have to do. I don't always read a letter. If I get letter from someone that is consistently negative, and I see I get a letter from them, I don't always read it at the moment.
Right.
You say, why? Well, they're negative. Last letter I got was negative. The letter I got before that was a negative. And you know something? I might have to say to myself, this is old from old negative Nancy, and it's going to be negative. And right now, I just can't handle reading it because I want to put my fist through the wall after I read it. And so I'm going to have to wait until I'm having a really good day, and then I'll open that up and read it. But until then, I will not turn my attitude or my spirit over to that person. So I don't read anonymous letters because they're almost always negative, and they're just going to cause me grief. Then I'm going to start passing judgment on everybody, trying to figure out who said it. So I just throw it away. At my church, they know that. So I don't get a bunch of anonymous letters. I just throw them away. I tell them, you want to say something to me, claim it.
Amen.
Claim it. I'll tell you something else that really ticks me off about the Facebook and stuff like that. I think it is a very dangerous thing that we can say anything we want, but you don't have to face somebody face to face. You can throw it out there and you can hide from them because of the distance. Look, I wouldn't say anything to anybody on Facebook or anywhere else that you would not say to their face. But guard your spirit. Number three, I'm careful not to read a bunch of negative materials.
Yes.
I just don't read a bunch of negative things. Listen to Romans chapter 16, verse 19. It says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Simple concerning evil. I don't read materials written for the purpose of attacking a bunch of preachers. You say, if somebody here tonight said, boy, did you read the most recent Christian periodical? They are just dicing to shreds some other Baptist preachers. You know what I do? I would not read it on purpose. I don't want to form a bad attitude. And they're not in my church anyway, so it's really not my business. It's very sad that even Christians can put out their National Enquirers. I don't want to, now some people would disagree with this. I don't want to know what's wrong with everybody.
Amen.
I'm not fishing to find a skunk. I live in a negative world while I've got a devil as my enemy. The last thing I need to do is to poison my own attitude. Some people hear that someone has written against somebody else and they run to it like a hog running to hog slop. Then what happens? You get a bad attitude. Constant. Hey, I would tell you this. I'm not talking about just in Christendom. There are some just secular writers that their columns that they write are just critical. All they do is tell you everything that's wrong. You might want to be careful. You could develop the same cynical attitude as the materials that you read. I'm going to tell you all something. This nation has been glued to the national media for 12 months.
Yes, sir.
And their attitudes are raunchy.
Yes, sir.
You believe everything that you. Some of you believe everything that conservative people on television tell you. You do understand they all do this for money. You can't believe everything all the conservatives say. You can't. You dead sure can't believe everything all the liberals say. But boy, people have just stayed glued. It was like gladiators out to kill everybody, and we all wanted to watch. So you develop a raunchy attitude. It'll ruin your spirit. I told the people in my church, I said, they can only say the same thing so many times and it gets old.
Yes.
You heard it, shut it off. Well, what are we going to do? Read your Bible, dumb bunny.
Amen.
They're ruining the attitude. You want to? You say, well, there are riots everywhere. There are riots by the right and riots by the left. Well, maybe everybody just developed a bad attitude.
Yes, sir.
Why? A constant feasting off of negative.
Yes.
That's unhealthy. This is called the good news.
Amen.
The good news.
Amen.
Let me go on. You want to protect your spirit? Tell you what I did. I realized I needed to listen to the right kind of music. Or don't listen to negative music. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 23, it says, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Here, Saul calls upon David to provide the right kind of music to calm his spirit. So you understand, and I'm not on a hobby horse, rock and roll music will not make your spirit good. You know, when you listen to country music that's all about sleeping with somebody else's wife, drinking your beer and everything, that won't heal your spirit. Rap music will not make your spirit better. You check, and you're not going to find that the mass murderer was listening to calm music by Greg Nash right before he started blowing people up. Check and see what kind of music the deranged in spirit listened to.
Yes, sir.
Parents, frequently I'll have a parent say to me, "My kid has developed a bad attitude. Preacher, what should I do?" And I'll say, "You might want to just investigate their music a little bit and see what they've got going."
Yes, sir.
Music affects your attitude.
Yes.
Music affects your spirit. I'll be honest, I'm a counselor. I do a ton of counseling. And I counsel people that suffer with depression. One of the things I always tell them, if you really want my help, if you'll bring me the music you'll listen to, I can sort through it and I can help you find the kind of music that will lift your spirit, and I can point out the kind of music that will down your spirit. And if you have a wrong depression coming on, get some good godly gospel music and start playing that good music, and it will uplift your spirit. But I've got to protect my spirit. So I'm careful with my music. I'm careful not to read negative stuff. I'm careful I don't read letters that people won't sign. And I don't get myself involved in problems that I can't solve. Let me go on. To protect my spirit, I'm real careful not to run around with negative people.
Amen.
Don't run with negative people. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you that have to do with the spirit. These describe people's spirits. Numbers 5:14, it says, "And the spirit of jealousy come upon him." See, people can have jealous spirits, jealous attitudes. Then Isaiah 19:14 says, "The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof." Perverse. Somebody could have a perverse attitude. They could have a jealous attitude. Listen to this. Mark 1:23, it says, "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit." So somebody can have an unclean spirit, they can have a jealous spirit, they can have a perverse spirit. The Bible says in Hosea 4:12, "For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused this." There are people that can have a spirit or an attitude toward immoralities, and you know, you work out there. You know, there are people out there, life is a big game of improprieties with the opposite sex, always looking for opportunity. And I'm telling you, if you want a good spirit, you're going to have to protect your spirit. And one thing to do is don't get around people that are negative or that have bad spirits. Let's face it, there are some people that are bad for your spirit. There's some people, you get around them, they've got a negative, bad spirit, and before long, you're involved, you're agreeing, you're becoming critical. I hate to say this, but it's true. Even in church, you have to be careful. We love everybody that comes to church. And I think you ought to be friendly to everybody that comes to church. But I do not think you ought to be best friends with everybody that comes to church. Because some people, they have corrupt spirits. They need to come to church because this is a hospital. But, you know, some people think, well, if they come to church, they should make good friends. Would you go down to the hospital and crawl into bed with somebody that had a contagious disease? You say, why, no, that's ridiculous. Well, there are people that come to church that are not well spiritually. I'd be careful spending too much time with them. They may tamper with your spirit. For some, if you say, if you're here and you say, I've been told I have a bad attitude, that's like saying you have a bad spirit. Most of the time, bad spirits come from bad associations. So, I have to be careful who I run around with. Why? They're going to affect my spirit. Let me go on. I have a policy. I try not to repeat negative things. I don't want to repeat something negative. Now, you know something? You can't always stop yourself from hearing something negative. I mean, you could be with someone and they could blurt it out. But my college president, Dr. Wendell Evans, he used to say this. He said, you could not stop a bird from landing on your head, but you do not have to let him build a nest there. Now, I can't stop myself from hearing something negative from time to time, but I don't have to dwell on it, and I dead sure don't have to repeat it. Gossip will destroy your attitude, and it'll destroy the attitude of other people.
Yes.
You know, the Bible talks a lot about the misuse of the tongue. Listen to Psalm 120, verse 3. It says, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Listen to Proverbs 10:31. It says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Now we're told there's a false tongue, there's a froward tongue. Proverbs 17:4 said, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Now there's a naughty tongue. Proverbs 17:20 says, he hath a perverse tongue. Now there's a perverse tongue. Then it says in Proverbs 25:23, the north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. So I'm saying I should not repeat negative. If I hear negative, I should not repeat negative. Let it stop with me.
Yes, sir.
And I might tell you this also. You do understand for gossip to spread, it takes two. A mouth and a set of ears. Which one are you? Now, if I accidentally hear something that's negative, the last thing I need to do is go repeating it. Why? Well, I don't think it's a good idea for me to go on around talking bad about other people, but there's also something I'm trying to do. I'm trying to protect my spirit. Negative talk is usually a result of negative thinking, and that will hurt your spirit. Negative talk is a result of negative listening. Negative talk is a result of negative reading. Your negative talk hurts others, but it could destroy your spirit. So, I don't mean in a sinful way, but you ought to almost pride yourself that you don't go around talking about every negative thing that you hear about. Some people think it's their job to let everybody know every negative thing that they hear. You probably don't have a real good spirit if you're like that. You're probably more cantankerous than what you realize. Good people are probably afraid to be around you a little bit because you don't control your tongue. What are you doing, though? You're also ruining your spirit. You're damaging your spirit. You're weakening your spirit. Let me go on. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a second. If you want to protect your spirit, don't walk in the flesh. You're taught the Bible quite well around here. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, He does come in. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what you and I are supposed to do, we are to surrender to that Holy Spirit. He's there, He's available, but He will not force Himself on us. If we'll surrender ourselves to the Spirit of God, He'll guide us and protect us and help us. It's called a walking in the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You let His Holy Spirit help keep your spirit, that's big S spirit, helping little s spirit healthy. I'll promise you, whenever you've got a bad attitude, a bad spirit, it developed when you were not walking in the big S spirit. It happened when you let your guard down. You were in the flesh when you heard it, saw it, said it. If you would have been in the Holy Spirit, He would have helped you not to do it, say it, feel it, think it.
Yes.
People with wounded or broken spirits were not walking in the Spirit when the harmful blow hit. I've learned something, Brother Nash. If I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm right with God and you try to hurt me, you'll have a pretty tough time.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Like water off a duck's back.
That's right.
But when I'm in the flesh, you take a shot at me, I'm ready to take a shot back. Let's go to town. You try it in your marriage. When you let your guard down, that's when we call them tiffs, disagreements, fights. Where do the fights come from? Somebody is not walking in the Spirit. Because when we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to abuse one another. We're not going to be nasty and rude and hateful. So the walking in the Spirit will help protect your spirit. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. When you're right with God, God's Holy Spirit will unify with your spirit, and I think it even gives you a dose of the security that we have in Christ, eternal security. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am saved. But you start getting away from God, you'll even start doubting your own salvation. But you can't lose it. What's happening? You got a sick spirit going on. Not the Holy Spirit. He'd never sick. But if your spirit gets sick enough and damaged enough, you might even get to wondering, am I even saved? What's going on here? So, don't walk in the flesh. Let me repeat myself, and then I'll give you a couple more ideas. I said, I don't get involved in problems that I can't solve. I said, I don't read anonymous letters, and I'm even careful to read negative letters from people that are consistently negative. I wait until I'm strong enough to handle it. Then, I don't read negative materials. I don't listen to negative music. I don't spend all my time with negative people. I don't repeat negative things. I try to walk in the Spirit. Then, I try to be very careful to not hurt the spirit of others.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about, do you hurt somebody else's spirit? I don't only try to protect my own spirit. That's got an element of, maybe self-centeredness there. But I've got to be careful that I don't hurt somebody else's spirit. I don't want to hurt my wife's spirit. And I don't think my wife wants to hurt my spirit. I don't want to hurt my children's spirit. I don't want to hurt my parents' spirit. I don't want to hurt the leaders in my life. I don't want to hurt their spirit. I don't want to hurt my followers' spirit. I have pastored, I've had hundreds of people work on my staff. I've always tried to be very careful. If somebody needed to be corrected, I did not want to damage their spirit in the process of correction. Do you know what? The Bible even says this, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What's it talking about? Be careful that you don't damage that child's spirit. There's a way to correct a child without making them hate you.
Yes, right.
What's it saying? God's basically saying, be careful with that child's spirit. I think there's a process of breaking the will, but don't break the spirit. That's very, very damaging to a child. See, I try to be careful with people's spirits. Sometimes when I'm counseling, there might be three or four big issues in a counseling session. And you know what I'll do? I'll sum them up and I'll say, they can't handle us talking about four major issues right now. We will deal with one. And I'll say, let's get another appointment. You say, are you out of time? No, I think they're out of spiritual energy. I think that if I try to fix four major problems in their life all at one time, I could drive them in a ground. I could ruin their spiritual dignity. And I realize that an ego can be bad, but there is an element of an ego that is important. I try to be careful with people, so I don't try to pile on. Why? I'm trying to guard their spirit. Boy, when you counsel, you get deeply involved in people's lives, and they pull back the curtain and they let you see some of them, and that's a scary thing. Nobody really wants anybody to see their weaknesses. Well, I'll tell you what, you better find a counselor that will guard your spirit so they don't hurt you, they don't pour it on too fast. It's just, hey, there's something that I try to teach my people at church, and you all might want to consider this. His attitude or spirit before he preaches is very important. He doesn't want to get into this pulpit and be angry or frustrated. Why? The Word of God deserves that his spirit be healthy. So, here's what you do, if you can. Don't bring negatives to him right before he comes in to preach. Why? So he can protect his spirit. Look. If the light bulb got broken because the kids were throwing a basketball right before church, the light bulb will still be broken after church. Don't run to the pastor and say, that crazy teenager threw that basketball up there and broke that glass and the glass is everywhere. Look, it's going to be okay. Let him preach his sermon first, then go fall apart about the light bulb. But protect his spirit what you can. Very, very important. I do that with my own staff men. I have staff men, they're leading. There are things that need to be corrected. But I'll say to myself, well, they're getting ready to go preach in children's church, or they're getting ready to go teach Sunday school. I am not going to tamper with their spirit right now. I can deal with this another time. What am I doing? Protecting the spirit.
Yes,
look, men, if your wife has had a rough day, that's not the day to let her know the things that you're disappointed in. Let her regain her composure. Let her regain her spirit. Same thing with men. My wife, she told me one day, she said, I don't know what happened, but back when I worked secularly especially, Fridays were very hard days on me because that's when I got paid. I'll tell you what happened. I'd work all week long, look forward to get the paycheck. I'd get the paycheck, take it home, put it in the checking account, and it was all gone, and here's all I had to look forward to, going back to work for six more days. And my wife learned, when I got home from work on Friday, she just had to be really careful because it had occurred to me, I just worked, I got the check, I took it to the bank, every bit of it's going to be spent. I start again on Monday with nothing again. And she learned to be careful with my spirit at that time. We ought to all be watching the spirit of the people around us. Guard those spirits. Let me quickly say a few more things. Don't seek revenge. Don't seek revenge. The Bible says, Psalm 94:1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Vengeful people damage themselves. Vengeful people have unhealthy spirits. And don't become a part of a plot of somebody else's vengeance. Why? Vengeance will destroy your spirit. When God says vengeance is mine, God is telling you he's the one that understands how to handle things justly. But I think he's also trying to get you not to destroy you. Because did you know that if you got mad at me and you wanted revenge on me, you could be as mad as a hornet at me, but let me tell you what's going to happen. I'll still go to my room and sleep tonight. He said, but I'm mad at you. But I'm going to go to sleep. Who's going to toss and turn? You. You're tampering with your own attitude. You're tampering with your own spirit. So don't seek revenge. Number 11. Don't dwell on the negatives of others. Don't dwell on the negatives of others. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I'll teach you something that I had to learn a long time ago. Spend a lot of time looking at other people's assets. Don't concentrate on their liabilities. Do you know everybody has assets and everybody has liabilities? You say, what's assets? That's your positives. What's liabilities? That's your negatives. Everybody has positives. Everybody has negatives. Do you want to know how you can get along with somebody that's got negatives? Stop looking at them. Not stop looking at the person. Stop looking at their negatives. What do I do? Look at their positives. One of the ways that I always work with my leaders in the church, they all had negatives. I took my time to always look at their positives. Oh, I would help them with their negatives, but I did it with a much better attitude when I seen all the asset. And so you know, by the way, most, you're going to find out, you're not going to find anybody in life that does not have both assets and liabilities. It doesn't exist. You get the total package. That's just the way it is. That's the way the human race is. But when you spend all your time thinking about my faults, you're hurting your spirit. If I spend all my time thinking about your faults, I'm hurting my spirit. So I don't dwell on the negatives of others. Let's see. I've got two more and I'm done. You'll like this. Don't form an opinion on everything. Don't form an opinion on everything. Somebody else has a responsibility in the church. You don't have to have an opinion. It's not your responsibility. Don't form an opinion on somebody else's decisions. If it's not your decision, why do you think you have to form an opinion on it? Well, I just don't think. Well, what you probably should do is realize you've got your hands full with your decisions. Take care of them. Don't form an opinion about other people's failures. We ruin our own spirits by sticking our noses into other people's business. Overly opinionated people find their spirits quenched, and often. Somebody else didn't do what they think they should have done, but it really has nothing to do with you. And you're an emotional mess over something that's not your business. So you get a bad spirit. Now, let me tell you what that bad spirit does. Cause you to fuss with your husband, fuss with your wife, fuss with your kids, fuss with your brother, fuss with your sister, come to church, cause disunity, because you're just in turmoil. Don't form an opinion on what is not your business. I hear, I travel, I go to churches all the time. And I'll have someone walk up to me and say, "Brother Owens, what do you think about this?" And they'll blurt something out, and it's about their church. And you know what I'll say? I'll say, I really don't have an opinion on that. They almost don't know what to do. They wanted to corral me into the corner and try to get me to take sides. I'm not going to do that. That's not my church. That's not my business. So, once again, you do not have to form an opinion on everything. The more opinions that you form on things that are not your business, the greater the chance you stand of hurting your own attitude or your own spirit. And this is it. This is the last one. I promise I'm done. I've had to learn when I'm on overload emotionally and make sure that I don't take on any more responsibility until my spirit is stronger. I had to learn when Jeff Owens was... he was maxed out. And I had to learn not to try to take more on when I was already maxed out. You say, why? I get mean. I know me. My wife can tell you. My wife can tell you when I'm getting to my boiling point. And that she'll very politely say something like, "Honey, maybe you should take the afternoon off." I said, "Oh, I don't need the afternoon off." I remember one day, my kids to this very day, they tell this story. They say, "Dad, I'll never forget the day you got in the car. We were going somewhere, and one of us said, 'Dad, you seem frustrated.' You put the brakes on, you stopped the car and said, 'I am not frustrated.'" And everybody went. And to this day, they all tell that story. And every one of them, my part is very obvious. I was as frustrated as I could be, and they all laugh. "I'm not frustrated." Their eyes roll back in their head. Listen, you better learn you. You better learn when you're at that full point and learn how to back off a little bit before you hurt people, yes, before you say what you should not say or do what you should not do. Yes. I will never forget my pastor, world's largest Sunday school. And I'll never forget this. He had been in California preaching, and the man worked hundred plus hours every week of his life. He was like a tank. He was an incredible man. He had flown in late, and we had a staff meeting, and there were about 30 of us sitting around, and somebody asked him a question, and he answered it. About 3 minutes later, somebody asked him the very same question. He very politely answered it. 15 minutes later, somebody asked him the very same question. This time when he answered it, there was a pause. I watched him. He went. He answered it, and then he said this. Folks, I just remember, I have an appointment I need to get to. We'll have to cut this meeting short. Thanks for coming today, and we'll meet again next week. He stepped out of the room. All 30 staff members were left behind. I ran up to catch him real quick because whoever got to him first got to walk to his office with him. And we were walking along, and I didn't really have anything to say. I just wanted to walk with him. And he turned and he said, "You know, Jeff, after I was asked the same question, identical question, three times, I was afraid I was going to hurt somebody. I was going to snap at somebody. I was going to lose my testimony." He said, I need to go and take a little nap. He said, "I am so weary right now. I do not want to make my decisions for those people that I love and hurt them when I'm as tired and my spirit as weak as what it is." And I thought, this man's amazing. He went in. You know, there have been more than one time in my life when I said, "I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm emotional. I'm tired. I've been beat up. So I know when I'm on overload and I take one step back to get my spirit strong again so I can take a step back up and help people again." Now, what I did, what I just taught you, is when I analyzed me and how I could protect my spirit. And so, through the years, I've been through battles. I've seen a lot of difficult things. I've always tried to keep a good attitude in some of the worst situations, but I have learned how to protect my spirit. And remember, COVID-19, they came up with all sorts of things that we could do to protect ourselves, and people were on board. They were doing all sorts of things. It would be a good idea that you and I protect our spirit. That will help your church. That will help your family. That will help your marriage. That will help you with people at work. You've got to learn to have a healthy spirit. One of the things I strived to do with my church all the way through the last year, every time I went into church, I was concerned, not with our doctrine, not with our standards. I was concerned with the spirit, the people's attitude. So I did multiple things all year long to keep the spirit up. Let's face it. You can go into a church and it's like a funeral home. You go into a church sometimes and then there's that spirit in the air. There's something electrifying about it. Boy, we need to keep that good spirit. That's not accomplished by a congregation. That's accomplished by individuals in the congregation. Let's all keep our spirit strong. That'll help us keep the spirit of our church, our families, our marriages, our businesses strong. That's it. Not much of a sermon, but I'll promise you, if you listen to what I said, you're going to get along so much better, even with yourself, but with people. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes for a moment. I wish that you would decide that you would guard your spirit. You might even need to listen to this again and outline it a little bit. Stick it in your Bible. Train yourself to guard your spirit. It might be that somebody in here, you just need to stop listening to so much negative news. Most of what you're hearing, you've already heard it 100 times. It's just driving your spirit in the ground. Just be careful. Guard your spirit. Who here tonight would say, "Brother Owens, tucked in this lesson tonight. I heard something. I learned something."